All righty, go back. Let's go back to where we left yesterday, Jeremiah chapter 4. Actually, we're still in chapter 3, I think. It's a very long book. We made it through verse 15, so. Anybody have any questions? Anybody remembered what we studied yesterday?
We studied again last night.
What did you study? What did you study? What did you study?
About how I'll take you one of the family into a city and bring you in Zion.
Okay.
Now, how each of us have experienced that.
In verse 16, things get a little strange. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit, neither shall that be done any more. At this point, Jeremiah is prophesying temple Judaism to be gone. But he's also prophesying that synagogue Judaism will be gone. He's also prophesying that synagogue Christianity will be gone because there is no more house of God. The house of God is now in the New Jerusalem, and you shall no longer look for, see, or remember the Ark of the Covenant anymore because it's your reality. You're under it. You're on the mercy seat. The wings of the cherubim are your only reality. And it doesn't come to mind because it's all you have. It's like the fish. Water doesn't come to mind for a fish. Now the question that I have for you is, are you at that point yet? And what does it mean for the temple or the Ark of the Covenant to come to mind? This is an incredible scripture. You've got to kind of deal with it.
Things of God pointing to them.
That the things of God or the promise or something is somewhere other than where you are. Can you see this? That means lust is gone. Wanting things to be different is gone. Are gone. Things are.
Wanting is gone.
Wanting is gone. This is huge. Can you see the implications?
You know, the funny thing that's running through me is that there's guilt associated with not saying the Ark of the Lord while you're in that transition place or whatever, where you think you should be saying the Ark of the Lord. You've forgotten the Lord because you're not saying it anymore. But, whereas
that's... there's not guilt if you're there.
No, but if there's a guilt would try and, say,
but that guilt...
You should be doing something different.
And that guilt is because of you still have the Babylonian garment on.
Right.
Now let's look and see what Paul said about the same thing. If you believe that Paul wrote Hebrews, which I do, Hebrews 6. And again, the abomination which leadeth to desolation has to be gone for you to be able to say the Ark of the Covenant is no more. Does that connect? You're not sure?
No, it's atomic, if you have been destroyed, that's what happens.
Right.
It's not a...
There's no more Antichrist.
I'm not going to change my mind and do it. It's
you can't give breath to what your mind says at all.
Yeah.
because you know that it is a deceiver. It is a liar from the beginning.
Has to be changed.
What was that thing somebody said with the pattern has given up its
significance?
Significance.
Lido. Did I say go to Hebrews?
Yeah. Hebrews 6.
I forgot where I said to go. He's just gotten through chewing you out because he had many things to tell you about Melchizedek, but you couldn't understand him. But then you finally did. And then he says, therefore, in chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Well, that's all we do.
That's the Ark of the Covenant stuff. Isn't that how you say it? Let's do this, let's do that, let's baptize, let's lay on some hands.
Well,
let's do some principles.
There's only one way that you can leave these principles, because these are the foundation principles of Christianity or of the church. And the only way that can happen is that you believe in terms of its purest sense, that Jesus is Lord. Now, that's the rarest thing on the face of the earth, for anyone to believe that Jesus is Lord. And a lot of people say it. A lot of people around, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. It used to be every time I got invited to speak at the church, and after I spoke, everybody would come up to me and say, can you say Jesus is Lord? But what does it mean?
Every morning we're walking down past this place they're working on. They're going to build these condominiums up there. And they've gotten, they've passed the point, they've laid all the slabs, and they've got all the little
pipes,
plumbing and everything. And now nothing's happening up there. I mean, they probably ran out of money. So right now you can see and examine, and we'll go stand on and check out the foundation, because it's right there. But once the edifice, the thing it's supposed to be doing, takes place, it's going to disappear. It's going to be taken for granted as just a given. And that's sort of what we're talking about.
That's exactly right.
This really means something to me. When I see the guys on TV, the preachers and stuff, it's this unending barrage of things to look for, things to be aware of, things to do, things to not do. It's all these rules and regulations and rituals to go through in order to whatever, fill in the blank. And I'm not interested in living a life like that. That's the opposite of just, instead of here's how to be, just be. Dr. Phil and all the other self-help people, all they talk about is what I just described. And it's just mind-numbing and deadening and soul-killing. Just see the depth of your evil, repent, and be. I think is what this is.
But what you're describing is just watching little children play dominoes or darts or jacks or whatever you call it.
The principles of the doctrine of Christ.
Right. Can you once and for all time simply say, Christ is my life, I have never again anything to be concerned with. I never have to be anxious again. I never have to be concerned with what's going to or not happen. I never have to judge anybody. I never again need to think about what's going to happen tomorrow. I never again have to worry, and I never again have to ever have want or need. I never again have to compare myself with anybody. I never again have to think that somebody's treating me better than or different than somebody else is.
Unless it's true.
Unless it's true. You know, this also reminds me of what we used to talk about, where you go plant something, you know, and then you're thinking about it, you go dig it up to see if it's really working. You know, it's like, that's the same kind of deal. The foundation is gone, it's out of the way, it's there, and because it's a good one, you don't have to worry about it. It's never going to have to come to mind.
All right, back to Jeremiah 4. How'd that go? I went to Jeremiah 4 and I came up with Romans. How did I do that? Jeremiah 3, wherever I am. Now I got to find my place all over again. Jeremiah 3. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall I remember it, neither shall I visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered into it. To the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart, of any imagination, because their heart is evil. The point of it is, the New Jerusalem came down to us. It is our new reality. It is the only reality. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The not seen, according to the senses, is that the new reality is the New Jerusalem. It's our only it's our only existence. It's our only place of abiding. And not only just the New Jerusalem, we are abiding in, not just in the temple, we are not just in the holy place, we are in the Holy of Holies, not just in the Holy of Holies, we are under the wings of the cherubim, seated on the mercy seat with Christ. There is nothing else. That is the first source of all things. So how can you possibly have a need? And I promise you, if this can be seen for an instant, then your obedience is fulfilled. And then you will automatically revenge any disobedience. You will repent instantly if you look and see that there's a need. No, it's finished. No, if I see a need, then I've resurrected the evil one from the deadly head wound. I mean, you can't try to revenge your disobedience if you don't know you're being disobedient. And you can't know you're being disobedient if you don't know you're on the mercy seat. Then you're just doing normal human stuff.
I got an image of me coming up to the mercy seat with, you know, five, you know, travel bags and all this kind of stuff. It's like, well, I'm here now. I can't do that. Put all your stuff away.
Sometime yesterday, I was listening to religious television. It was a brother, what's his name? Daystar guy, and his lovely wife. Huh?
Marcus and Joni.
And they were talking about the altar. And how you bring it to the altar. You bring whatever it is to the altar. And we're obviously talking about bringing your money to the altar. And I don't remember if I've talked about this before. I'm sure I have in the past, but I can't remember talking about it lately. The altar isn't a place to receive sacrifices, or isn't a place to go put flowers. The altar is a place of slaughter. It's where you are dead. You have been slaughtered. And the Word of God ensures it, because it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged or sacrificial knife. It cuts you to pieces down to the bone and marrow, so that there's nothing of you left and only Him. But their whole thing was about, well, you got to bring your offerings and lay them on the altar. No. No. You've got to bring you and lay you on the altar, and you're slaughtered. And there's a new life. That's what it means to be born again. There's a new life that nothing can touch. That life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the only offering that you can bring to God. But, oh, I'm going to go build a prayer altar in my prayer closet. Well, that'd be nice. Put a little flowers there and burn incense. And you can go there and kneel and pray and say Om if you happen to be a yoga. But that's not what an altar is. Look at the word in the book. It's masibar, something like that. It means the place of slaughter. It's not some pretty little thing that you go put stuff on.
Perceived as is a place where you take whatever your medium of exchange is and you lay your medium of exchange out and then receive something in return for it. Canaanite religion.
At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered into it. Well, I promise you, nobody's going to be gathered into that little hunk of land in Israel. That's no more the Jerusalem. There's a new Jerusalem. That's no more Israel. Isaiah says it differently. He says all nations shall flow into it. And Jerusalem is on a mountain. How are all nations going to flow? What are they? All nations, all people flow into, because we're flowing as the passage of time flowing through the temple. And that which came from God remains there. That which didn't goes out the east gate into the Gehenna or the dump or hell, if we call it. But it has nothing to do with reward and punishment. It has to do with reality. So all nations are 24 hours a day flowing into, or being gathered into Jerusalem, into the temple. Can you see that? Otherwise, if you don't see it, you're going to walk into constant deception. You're going to be like, you know, you're carried about by every wind and doctrine and the sleight of men, including your men, lying in wait to deceive you, trying to convince you that you're not good enough, or you've got something wrong with you, or something, oh, I'm just a poor victim of life. But the predicate of this, they shall walk no more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given them for inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father and shall never again turn away from me. Can you feel that?
Yes.
You never go to anyone else or anywhere else for anything. You only go to your father. And you finally come to this place where you can cry out and mean and say with your entire being, Abba, Father. Because the tutors and governors of the world have done their work. Now you're a partaker, not a beggar. You're just a... You don't have to do anything.
It's like Jesus was the fulfillment of that particular
right
thing, and then he's in us, so we partake of it.
He is our life. He alone... But now listen, now this is the confession. Again, we always see this confession when it follows us. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way and they have forgotten the Lord their God. And I promise you what we talked about last few days. You'll forget 15 feet after you walk out of here because some stimulus will hit you or I won't look at you right or something, and all of a sudden, oh, all is wrong again. And there's weeping and moaning on your high places. And the high places are the seven mountains of your mind on which the whore sits. Aren't you tired of following the whore around? She's got a ring in your nose. Oh, I got to get mad at that. I got to get upset at this. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got lists. I got to keep my lists going. I tried to make a list the other day. I put it in my computer on that little things to do thingy in the schedule. Then I lost it. I'm not good at lists. What? Yeah, I'm going to learn from Harry. Learn the ways of God. Isn't it a whole lot easier just to be instead of keep trying? Oh, but you don't understand, Ole, because I'm losing my mind and therefore I'm becoming Alzheimer's or something, and therefore I got to make lists in order to blah, 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 blah. And you don't understand all that because I'm in the world and you're not. And I've got to go out there and do these things just like the world does. No, you don't. And you're a fool. How can you neglect so great a salvation? How you can you neglect this perfection of holiness, which is Christ in you, the hope of all glory? How can you continue to neglect it by paying attention to your senses? Heal my back. Your back, my knee. Anyway. How shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, Thou shalt call me my Father, and thou shalt not turn away from me. I want to quit there, because otherwise I'll have to get in a whole bunch of other stuff that I don't feel like getting into. Anybody have any response?
It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing.
No, that's why the point of, you know, that, you know, we say to use this about what people preach. If what you are saying cannot be said in the places on this earth where the worst persecution, the worst need, the worst activity is, then it's not true. So, why, and I promise you, what you're saying in your mind cannot meet those standards because your mind can't even know the truth. Because the truth to your mind is subjective. It depends on your circumstances. God's truth is eternal. It doesn't change with time or circumstances, and that's the only thing that we are to give any importance to. So can you just be instead of trying to be? Bojo, what's going on? I smell the gears going. What gears are going?
It's black and white. Choose to believe or not believe. Either it is or it isn't.
That's right.
Anything else?
Everything else is commentary.
Sure.
Everything else is grease burning.
Obfuscation.
It's finished or it's not. Abandon yourself or you don't.
Obfuscation.
Harry's so proud of himself. He said obfuscate.
We have a custom.
We do? Oh yeah, this is your first Bible study in the morning anyway. Yeah. Our custom is now is to beat you up. No, it's not. Do you have anything to respond? Anything?
Well, I'm actually fitting in, but I truly believe that in order to just be who you are, you just let be. You just, as long as the word is there, you just kind of follow your heart as with the scriptures, you know. That's what I believe.
Right. And the only way that can be done, though, because we cannot, or we can't trust our heart, is with a body of people. So that people, so it's tested in that group. And that's why you end up always preferring the other's interest over your own. Amen? Well, welcome aboard. All righty. Take it big, guy.